Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Brought to you by OUTsurance. SMS OUT to 30674 now, and you could save on car insurance. If you don't, ask them for 500 rand. Good morning, Adam Gilchrist.
Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
I am happier about the fact that you are now not quite as early talking to me as you would have been last month.
I have to say, I don't feel it yet. You know, when clocks change, you know the deal. It takes you about 6 months to catch up, and then you change back again. That's how it works. You're very lucky not to be doing that in South Africa.
Oh, there are many people who think we should be doing it, but it must be, must be good for you to be talking to me at 6:45 rather than 6:45, which is your normal time, or not your normal time, but your half of the year time.
Yes, in theory, you'd think I'd be more awake, but we'll see, I suppose.
Seriously, the Israeli attack on Damascus is making big news.
Yeah, as well as what's going on in Gaza. But this is sort of extension, I guess, given that somewhat out of the blue. I mean, Israel has carried out hundreds of attacks on different targets in Syria over the past years. But this does feel like a little bit of a change. They specifically targeted a headquarters of Iran's Revolutionary Guards, and specifically a senior commander, Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Zahedeh. Now, whether it works, what is Israel seeking to achieve? Are they basically trying to quell Iranian support for Hamas or Hezbollah just across the other border into Lebanon? It's not entirely clear, and indeed Israel has not commented specifically, but we do know that they have carried out the attack, and that in itself actually is quite rare that somebody has owned up to it. And having looked through the history books, I mean, we're only talking probably 3 or 4 times, you think, does this ever work? Where upping the ante and getting a bit heavy militarily actually works in the Middle East? And the answer is sometimes yes. America backed off after an attack in Beirut. Iran has previously backed off after an attack, but we wait to see what the reaction is. And again, I think we have talked many times about stirring this boiling pot in the Middle East. We're not sure if it does do that, but let's hope it doesn't.
Until I read the list of topics that we were going to discuss this morning, I wasn't aware. I've been away for more than a week and completely out of touch with what's been happening in the news. So I wasn't aware of the controversy in Germany over the latest Adidas kit for the German football team, and particularly the number 44 shirt. And it's one of those where if you just showed it to me, I would have gone, that's 44. But knowing that it is being interpreted as being disturbingly close to the symbol of the Nazi SS, I'm going, I never would have thought that by myself. But now it's pointed out to me, I can kind of see it.
Now you can see it. It is specifically a kind of lettering, isn't it? If you think about it, what is it? It's kind of a 20th century take on Gothic script, the sort of the way the letters are, when you think about how they were written out on, you know, the side of Panzer tanks or uniforms. And in this case, it's specifically the SS symbol that would have appeared on the sleeves, I guess, in particular of members of the SAS. And yeah, up front, you think, well, is it 55? No, it is 44. So there's the new kit from Adidas, German company, for the German football team. And if you buy the kit with a 44 on it, it absolutely does look like it's come straight from 1930s/early 1940s Nazi Germany. So what they've done is they haven't withdrawn the kit, because I suppose it's not specifically the kit that's the problem, it's purely the number. So now you cannot buy the kit with that number. You cannot be number 44. Yeah, I'll bet you there are some very questionable right-wing extremists who will somehow manage to embroider it in somehow, and we'll await with interest to see it at 1 or 2 football matches. But you kind of wonder why nobody put 2 and 2 together, because I know what you're saying. Up front, you wouldn't be expecting it. But if you are designing a kit for the German football team, the one thing you don't want to do is hark back 80 years somehow.
Yeah. Also, controversy over the fact that it's pink. the away kit.
Oh, we ignore
is
that
pink.
Controversy. Yes, yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah.
Tell me about Marilyn Monroe's crypt. Marilyn Monroe's crypt and a super fan.
Yeah, I love this. It's the fact that Marilyn Monroe, obviously, she's been dead and buried for 60 years or so, 60 plus years. And it's a crypt in Beverly Hills. It's in a cemetery. I mean, obviously, it's these days it's a plaque on a wall, really, and behind it, whatever. But next to her, more or less, has been free for sale until now bought by a tech investor, aren't they always these days, called Anthony Jabin, who has decided that he wants his final resting place to be right next to Marilyn at a cost of pretty much $200,000 just to buy the next door plot to Marilyn Monroe. He said he's always dreamt of being next to Monroe. The only, I don't know if anyone wants to point out to him, quite like work like that after death, that somehow you will hang around with the person that you are buried next to. But also, should he think that therefore somehow he could spiritually wander across to Marilyn Monroe's crypt and they could, you know, have a tete-a-tete? If he goes the wrong direction, just the other side is Hugh Hefner, as in the Playboy Mansion, Playboy magazine magnate. You wouldn't want to get those two confused, really, would you?
Yeah, my guess is he's designing an app already to allow his left arm or his right arm or whatever it is to extend and his bony fingers poke through the earth until he touches the shroud in which Marilyn is buried, poor man. Thank you, Adam. Adam will be back with another Worldview with Lester tomorrow morning.